I loved, loved, loved the first story arc, the first five books of Roger Zelazny's The Chronicles of Amber, Prince Corwin and his adventures with his family, mystery, intrigue, betrayal, revenge, redemption. It was intense. It was exciting. So I was really eager now to jump into the second story arc, books 6 through 10. Yeah, they're not quite what I expected. Hi, I'm Jim, the father of this father-son show, Fantasy for the Ages, where we talk about fantasy, science fiction, and other nerdy things we enjoy. Today, just Jim, the father here with you, bringing a book blast episode, which means a spoiler-light reaction to something I've read recently. In this case, books 6 through 10 of Roger Zelazny's The Chronicles of Amber. I will not ruin these books for you here today, but I'm definitely going to give you my thoughts on them and a taste of what you might expect if you dive in. First off, let me be clear about these books. I'm glad I read them. They extend and expand upon the story that I enjoyed in books 1 through 5. And they have some real strengths on their own. Nevertheless, my final takeaway after finishing these books? A little underwhelmed. I was like, really? That's all? That's where you went with this, Roger? As a spoiler light episode, again, I'm not going to go into specifics of where the books didn't live up to potential. Suffice it to say, I found these five books, which are really just one average-sized fantasy book when you consider them as a whole. There's no real time jumps or breaks here. It's just one story from the beginning of 6 to the end of 10. But I found them just okay. And I'm looking and hoping for better than just okay in my reading these days. So I was a little disappointed. My disappointment is heightened by just how much I was wowed and impressed by the first 5 books of The Chronicles of Amber. So that's what you're being compared against, and it's kind of side-by-side comparison. These don't stand up. There's some real magic in those first books that these last 5 just never quite recapture from my perspective. But they're not bad books. Maybe they're being misjudged because they're being stood against the other 5. I don't know. But let's talk a little more specifically about these particular books, 6 through 10. The primary focus character of these is a shift where it was Corwin of Amber in the first 5. Now it's his son, Merle Corey, aka Merlin. He's direct relation to the royal house of Amber through Prince Corwin, his father. But he's also a direct connection to royalty of the courts of chaos, the other end of the spectrum of all creation, because of his mother, Dara. We met Merle, or Merlin. We met him in the previous books, just in brief little tidbits. He was not a significant player in that story. And we were, with the little bit we got, given a favorable feel about him. Like, he's a good guy. He might be someone we'd like to get to know. So here we get to know him. These books begin after a time jump of about 10 years from the end of the last story. And in the interim, the following has occurred. Prince Corwin has disappeared. Again. Pretty much just after the end of the previous book and under mysterious circumstances. And no one knows a thing about what happened to him or where he might be. His son, Merlin, who has literally had just one lengthy life story conversation with his dad, decides, is inspired to leave the home in the courts of chaos that he's known all his life and to move to Amber. Live with the other half of his relations for a while. Get to know what it was like for his dad growing up in Amber. And then after some years doing that, building relationships, having a positive experience, he decides to move into Shadow and take up residence and actually go to school in the shadow world his dad spent centuries in. Corwin having lost his memory for a good chunk of that time. It's interesting. It's like it's a way to go and get some of the education and experience and life awareness that his father had by doing this himself. He doesn't know where his dad is, but this is a way he can maybe connect with him. He can get a little closer to Corwin. And then, just as the story gets started, Merle's ex-girlfriend is killed in mysteriously magical ways on the same day of the year that someone has been trying to kill Merle each year for a few years now. So a day that he's on guard, that something's going to come at him, and I got to be careful, and it's his ex-girlfriend who dies. From this event, this murder of his ex-girlfriend, Julia, a story springs that opens up the world Zelazny created far more than we got in the first five books. That's a nice aspect of these books. We learn more about the Royal House of Amber, about the Lords and Ladies of Chaos, about the Pattern and its opposite, and much, much more. Zelazny brings a great deal of creativity to the story, reveals many more layers and styles of magic, and he makes it all quite interesting to read. One of the frustrating aspects of the story, though, and there's a few I'm going to go into here. First off is the premise that, you know, Corwin went missing right after the conclusion of the previous book. At first I was like, really? But what's worse is that somehow it's not a big deal. Corwin, who was literally almost the king of Amber, who isn't king, but, you know, kind of allowed, paved the way for his brother Random to become king, only because Corwin decided he finally, you know, I don't want to be king, who was missing for hundreds of years just prior to the books 1-5, even maybe presumed dead because of the machinations of relatives. Now he's disappeared again. And it doesn't cause holy heck? Okay, that is not very, very realistic to me. I'm like, come on. I mean, people supposedly tried to find him, but then just quit looking. Okay, that was weak. And then, let's add in the fact that someone, as I said, has been trying to kill Merlin for several years now. Just once a year. It's always on April 30th, his death date. And yet, Merle seems willing to just move on each year. Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah, I almost died. Someone tried to kill me. But that's over now, and I don't really need to look into it much. Just need to move on. What? Again, not super realistic. Now, one aspect of the story that I really did enjoy was Ghost. But I cannot tell you a single thing about Ghost. Because it's spoiler light. But for many reasons, that's likely the best element of what Zelazny introduced in these latter stories. It causes plot issues, but I was entertained. So, whatever. To conclude, I found these five books interesting and had no trouble going straight through them. But from the very first of these books, Trumps of Doom, I was already less caught up than I had been by the previous five. And I was really hoping it would build and build and eventually hit a whopper of an ending that would bring it all home, and I'd feel just so satisfied by this second story of Amber. And for me, that didn't happen. Thus, I wouldn't call myself a raving fan of these books, but they're okay. Zelazny intended to tell more stories from the world of Amber, but sadly he passed away, complications of cancer. He was fighting that for some time, and it was 4 years after this book came out that he finally passes away. Other authors were authorized by his estate to go ahead and tell more stories, extend the story of Amber. So they're out there. I could read more, but based on my feeling at the end of book 10, I'm good. No need to read more Amber. But I do encourage you to check these books out anyway. Maybe you'll feel completely different. There are some parts of these books that are very delightful. But that's where I'll leave you for today. Hope you enjoyed this. Don't forget to like the episode and subscribe, especially if you made it this far. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.